Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Jimmy pulls it out and Tyler puts chips and salsa on it.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Beat time. Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, going camping in Toyotas, which we already said, but we're going to say it again because that's what we do. This is the podcast for you and me and that person over there and the person driving next to you and your neighbors as well. And your neighbor's grandmother. So welcome, ladies and germs. This is episode 126. 126.
Jeez.
For my good buddy Jimmy over here, how do you feel about it being 126?
Feel like we're getting old.
You feel like we're getting old? Yes. We might be starting to pass that 8-day mark, 8 days of content mark now.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't remember what was it, 125 or 124?
Yeah. Last
episode.
When we talked about how we are 7.9 days.
Yeah, 7.9 days.
Yeah, because I was editing that and I was like, holy cow, like that's a week.
Yeah.
Like straight.
It's more than a week. It's
I know. That's unbelievable.
A week of your life we have conned you into wasting.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I love it.
You love it? Love wasting everybody's lives out there.
I do indeed. Nice. So hey, we got some new patrons.
We did?
Well, we got one new patron.
I noticed one.
We never mentioned the other patron last week. What we did is we said we had two new patrons. Charles, what the heck? About freaking time you signed up. But we never mentioned Mayor.
Oh, did we get sidetracked the Bush?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Which the link was down in the description. I added that.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, we had Mayor signed up. Thank you so much, Mayor.
Very cool. Thanks, Mayor.
Appreciate it. And this week we had Andre sign up.
Andre! I saw Andre come through.
Andre's amazing.
Is he?
He's got a 60s series Land Cruiser. Yeah.
When was it? What was its production date?
I don't know.
Oh, Andre, you got to tell me your production date.
He lives in Estonia.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
So he's all of our Estonia listens.
He's 100% of the Estonia listens right there.
Oh, that's funny.
How awesome is it to have a patron from... We got Charles last week from Australia.
Yeah.
And we got Andre this week from Estonia.
Estonia.
We're like... Andre. Worldwide famous now.
I know. So there's a couple things I need to know from Andre.
Okay.
One is, what's the production date of your FJ60?
He wants the month and year.
The month and the year. Two, would you consider selling it if it's an April 1988? And three, are you into ham radio?
Yeah, because you've actually hit
I have for
Estonia.
For some reason...
Was it in a contest?
No, it was just randomly in the evening times during the gray line period. My signal from my house gets up and over the North Pole and comes down in Estonia for about an hour during the evening time at a certain period of time when the sun's setting.
That's cool.
So, Andre, if you are into ham radio and have a ham radio and can get on 20 or 40 meters, let me know.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
Right?
Like, talk to somebody in Estonia over the ham.
I know, yeah.
That'd be cool. So you're not hitting repeaters when you do that. So is it just in essence, air quotes here, simplex?
It is. It's absolutely simplex. Almost everything you do on HF is simplex.
Okay.
What makes HF really cool is that your signal skips or propagates in the atmosphere.
It bounces off the atmosphere and clouds and stuff. I learned that in your class.
It's so cool. You never really know exactly quite where it's going to be coming down back to Earth. Sometimes part of your signal escapes, comes back down to Earth, and it'll And it'll and it also depends continue on the cloud keep going. Cover, right? It depends on the cloud cloud conditions, atmospheric conditions.
Yeah.
The K index on the your sunspots on the sunspot cycle currently. There's a lot of different conditions that go into it. And some people have gotten to the point where they can start, you know, guesstimating that your signal from California will come down in this state at this time of the day.
Wow.
Kind of thing. But you can't get it down to like this block of this city.
Sure.
Kind of thing.
Well, I would assume that like when the clouds are shifting and moving that you're either getting signal there or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
So it's really cool. Ham radio is fun. Mm-hmm. Fun stuff.
A few other announcements before we jump into the main topic here. We have the Ultimate Garage Giveaway going on still. It'll be going on through November.
I think November 15th.
November?
Yeah. November 15th is the last day.
Right. So make sure to go get into that and your chance to win $35,000 worth of tools, which is pretty awesome. And then in parallel with that, we have Gear Wrench Corey's Garage Giveaway, secondary runner-up options. And all you need to do for that is submit everything that you did for the Gear Wrench Garage Giveaway and then send us an additional picture that showed that you submitted over there.
Yep.
And we've had two people enter so far.
We have.
So they have a 50-50 chance of winning.
Right now, there's a 50% chance of winning $10,000 in Gear Wrench tools.
Yeah.
Gear Wrench and Crescent and Apex and Lufkin and all these other cool Wiss brands.
And so that's pretty awesome. Along with that, we have the Patreon giveaway going on right now, which is the Bestline Racing. Too many tools going on. Bestline Racing additives package that is going to be for your vehicle. That's what's happening this month on the $10 tier of Patreon.
Yep. So cool. Go over and check that out. I think that's about it. I wanted to give a couple of shout outs to Brandy.
Okay.
Patron Brandy. So, it has come out that the huge creek fire down near Shaver Lake, that destroyed it was a raging fire very quickly.
The one that started by a gender reveal party.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
So it was, that's what I was going to get to. It's been started by a gender reveal party.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody took one of those smoke bombs and it backfired or malfunctioned and sparked and started the entire creek fire.
Right.
So Brandy, patron Brandy, has been posting some awesome, hilarious memes.
Oh, really?
That have come about because of this gender reveal started forest fire. So the first one I'll show you here, it is Smokey the Bear, and it says, "Only you can prevent gender reveal parties."
Oh, yes. That is great.
And then there's another one of, I don't even know what movie this is, but it's a big action movie, action scene with a couple, a male and a female, walking away like the heroes of the scene, right? With a massive flame explosion fireball behind them.
Leaving your gender reveal party like, and then it has that picture of them walking away.
Yep.
I don't know what movie that is either.
I don't know. It's like some 80s macho movie or something.
A guy carrying a guitar case.
Yeah. And then the last one, which I think is probably my favorite one, is a twat. It's a tweet.
Uh-huh.
A tweet from a twatter.
Smokey the Bear?
It's from the official Smokey the Bear on Twitter.
Yeah.
What does it say,
Jimmy? Gender reveal party, except you just fucking text people and not light the forest on fire.
So
expect you.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. A gender reveal party, except you just fucking text people and not light the forest on fire.
Yeah. I never understood those. I don't think, like, I understand it's just another reveal or another reason to party in a way.
Yeah.
But I've personally, I've never been interested in going to a baby shower or a gender reveal party.
I haven't either. I haven't understood them. So,
I'm also on the mindset, and I don't know if the assistant, if the assistant and I are ever going to have kids, we've never kind of talked about it yet. But we've also not talked about, but I'm in the mindset of, I think it'd be fun to have a boy's name and a girl's name and not know the gender until it pops out.
Oh.
I think that'd be cool.
And once it pops out, then you just put a name on it.
I have had some friends do that where they didn't know the sex of their baby and they did like a round robin. They chose like eight names for eight names for girls, eight names for boys, and they let everybody else whittle it down, and they did like this bracket of, you know, like a March Madness like style thing. Bracket, yeah. And they came down to a boy's name and a girl's name.
That's
and
then, funny.
Yeah. That was it whenever it popped out.
That's funny.
And I thought that was fun too. Yeah.
So yeah. Don't do gender reveal parties with pyrotechnics enforced right now, please. Ever. Yeah. I really hope. I want to hear as to whether or not they end up slapping those people with fines or
they've got to
restitutions or something. Yeah. If they don't,
they have like
be
millions
pissed.
Of dollars of damage on their you know, on their names right now.
So anyway, so I thought those were hilarious. Shout out to Brandy for finding those and posting them up. I was laughing very hard this morning when I was reading through them.
Thanks.
So yeah, I think that's about it. There has been a fun little update from Jeep that I don't know if we want to get into here, if we want to wait till Thursday.
Let's do it on Thursdays.
Okay, let's do it on Thursday. You guys got to wait until then. And I guess without further ado, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And then we'll be right on back with today's campfire discussion. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, gentle ladies, to today's main topic of discussions around the campfires. So yeah, we have, I think this is going to be kind of fun one. We had a very serious one not too long ago.
I got heated.
Yeah.
We actually had a lot of good feedback from it.
We did.
And we probably lost a lot of followers from it, but you know what? I'm okay with that.
Okay, cool. Me too. So yeah, this one's going to be fun. Jimmy and I, we've done a lot of camping.
Can I pause you for a second?
No.
I'm going to anyway.
I don't have a pause button.
I got a in regards to last Monday's episode. I got a message from Mike Austin.
Oh, okay.
Mike and Max. And he said at first he was extremely pissed that we were how we were talking and what we were saying. And then as we started discussing it, he said it really opened his eyes, and he didn't know if it like swayed him to change his mind, because he said, well, we just need to stop sharing, but it did. He liked the fact that we were arguing the other side.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Right. And he, you know, now he has more respect for the side, like, you know, that maybe we do need to train people, because, you know, it's not, if you just stop sharing, people are still going to share, you know, so you still need to train people regardless. So I thought it was a really sincere comment that came from him to the, you know, not everybody's going to think the same.
Oh yeah,
right?
Totally.
Everybody has their own, has the right to their own opinion.
Absolutely.
And the
opinions
fact that
are like assholes.
Right. Everybody's got one. Yeah. And I respect him for messaging us and saying that though he thinks differently, he likes the fact that we were arguing the opposition.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And that's what we want, right? That's that was our goal of that episode, is not to say, hey, we're right, you're wrong, because that's not it at all. We are going to be the first ones to admit, we don't know. We don't know what the answer is.
Nobody knows the answer.
But the point is that we're getting the dialogue going so that we can have these discussions and figure out, shit, maybe the correct thing is to stop sharing. And maybe that is the fix. Right. I personally don't think it is, because I think that the outdoors should be for everybody to share. I think that I don't, you know, by me knowing where a place is and kind of keeping that strictly to myself, and it just seems really selfish and petty. Like, I'm enjoying it so much, why not share that with people?
Kind of, yeah.
But on this flip side, I can also see, you know, well, if I share it with somebody,
then somebody else will share it, and then other people will share it. And if more people show up, more trash will be there. More people will be there whenever I want to go enjoy it. Yep. I'm with you.
No. So yeah, I think that's cool. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. That's really neat. That's what we want. We want the dialogue to get going so that we can have adult discussions and conversations about these things rather than just get pissed about it and not talk about these. So, that's cool.
Yep.
That's
and a so neat message. Kind of, along with what we not well in regards to camping, which is like going out in the middle of nowhere, Tyler and I have come up with a list.
We did.
Of the 10 sort of off the wall items that we take camping with us.
Yeah. And I thought this was pretty cool, because You and I have done a lot of camping this year because we are social distancing champions of 2020.
Yeah, until recently where they told us, like, hey, you're not allowed to go out in the wilderness anymore.
Right. So now I'm camping in the back of the RAV4 in my driveway.
Yeah, we're still doing some backyard camping when we're allowed.
Nice.
And it's not too smoky out.
I set up my tent in my backyard and forgot to turn off my sprinkler.
Oh, did it hold out the water?
Oops, it did. But I was like, oh, man.
Nice.
But anyway, so yeah. And what's been really neat for me is that when I had the first gen 4Runner, I thought I had my camping setup down pretty well, right?
Okay.
But there was a few things here and there that were clunky that I wanted to upgrade, but everything was working, so I was too lazy to do it. And so since the first gen 4Runner got stolen, all my camping gear got stolen. This year, 2020, has kind of been like rebuild my camping gear for the way I really, really want it now.
Yeah, rebuild your system.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this has been really fun, and I've, you know, found a couple of more efficient ways to do things or take things that everybody takes camping, but find a better version of it that fits my needs better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, from going through all of that this year and all the multiple camping trips that we've been on, both of us have kind of figured out little twists.
Oh yeah.
To items that we want to share with everybody.
Yeah. We all have our little item that, you know, either everybody, whenever we pull that item out, you know, everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect item for this situation.
For me, it's my chainsaw.
That should be on this list. It's not.
I actually put it on my list after copied it over to the computer. Yeah.
Or the you know, the items that everybody's like, man, I need one of those.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is my chainsaw.
Right.
My ham radio.
Yeah. And so we're hoping that, you know, a lot of these items probably people know about, but mm-hmm. we're trying to get the idea that, you know, maybe there's a way for you to move into this item, or maybe you figure like, I don't ever need that item.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, but it's something stupid that we like.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. So this is going to be a list of roughly 10 items. There's probably a few extras in there.
Yeah, we got some bonus items, extra items.
Some honorable mentions. And so who wants to start?
I'll start.
You'll start?
You want.
Okay,
sure.
Go for it.
I think I'm going to start with, I have on my list is totes and bags.
Totes and totes?
Totes on totes on and
totes
bags.
And totes.
Totes and totes. Boots and cats and boots.
Yeah, that's
and
what it is.
No, but for me, I like using totes. And I like to, it's really
like tote
easy.
Bags or? Totes,
like Rubbermaid, or that's a brand, but like plastic containers that you can put stuff inside.
Gotcha.
Right? I just moved away from, I can't even remember, the yellow top, black bottom style tote that I had. And I just bought these red top, black bottom Craftsman versions. And I like them because they stack really well and they kind of fit together fairly easily.
They're like Legos?
Kind of, yeah. Like you can fit two small ones on top of, you know, the bigger ones and they, you know, they just sync up really well. And that's mainly for when I pull them out of the truck and I put them on the shelves away after camping. But what I like about them is the how you can organize things within them.
Okay.
Right. So I have big totes and small totes, and, you know, like my larger totes has my camping gear and some of the smaller totes has strictly the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Right. So then I have labels on the outside of them. And so I know what tote I can grab for what specific item I'm going for.
Yeah.
And then within those, I even have bags inside of those for items that, like, all the utensils or all the, you know, like, I don't know, I'm thinking about the kitchen one. So I have like a bag for all the Ziplocs and the trash bags. Right. And, you know, and then in the camping side of things, I have, you know, larger bags that hold some of the things that I want to keep dry in case they get wet, which usually if you have the tote and the top on, they're not going to get wet on the inside, but there's always the chance of that. And so I think I like one of the reason I wanted to bring this up is mainly for organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's the primary focus of having totes and bags.
Yeah.
And so you can organize your vehicle however you want. Tyler does it differently than how I do it. Trucks do it differently than SUVs. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of, you know, people are now going to actual like built-in shelving and systems that are specifically inside of their Rocklanders, you know, and just think about organization and how to quit so that you can quickly find the item that you're needing instead of just throwing everything in the back.
Yeah.
Right. Another benefit to totes are you can lash them down pretty easily.
Yeah.
And so almost every time I will throw some of the totes in and I'll throw a Ziploc or a ratchet strap around it, mm-hmm. right? So that when I'm driving up Windchill 1 at a crazy angle, my totes aren't just sliding around all over the place inside of my truck bed. So I like, that's one of the items that, you know, a lot of people probably have these, but I wanted to, the reason I was bringing it up was more for organization.
Yeah. So organizational stuff, I think that's a good key point. I use totes as well, but that I mainly use totes because I like the portability of them. Mm-hmm. You can just grab them and go. I know that. And for me,
yeah, that's a great point.
Well, for me, I don't like to have my camp set up around my vehicle. I like my camp set up to be around like the campfire ring or the social area, right?
Sure.
And I know there's a lot of people out there, a lot of overlanders, their vehicle is the mainstay of their camp, right? Mm-hmm. They have the awning out. They have their kitchen set up into their tailgate area.
They have their tent on the top.
But not me. I like to, because there's a lot of times when I go, you know, use my off-roading rig as a crawler. So I'll unload all my camp stuff in a camp area and then go wheeling for the day.
Right.
And so I don't like to have, I like to have everything portable that I can detach from the vehicle and leave in camp. And that's why mm-hmm. I really like the totes.
Yeah.
So
no, that's a great point. And, mm-hmm. and I'll just parallel off of that is that, you know, when loading, all you do is grab your totes and throw them in. And when mm-hmm. unloading at the end of the trip, you just grab your totes and throw them off. And you don't have to worry about grabbing the onesie twosie things mm-hmm. out of there. It's just like, okay, all that camping gear. Yeah. And to make this function, you have to put everything away in the correct spot, right? So mm-hmm. that when you're done with it, you can just throw it on the shelf. Mm-hmm. So then when you go camping the next time, you grab it off the shelf and throw it on the rig.
Yeah.
But yeah, the organization and functionality of having containers that hold items, mm-hmm. you know, more than one item is very nice.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing that I kind of do that is I've been figuring out lately, there's not a whole lot of people that do it. And I'm like, okay, I thought there would be more people do this. In terms of organizational stuff is I will have a Ziploc bag, a big one, like the gallon freezer sized ones that's dedicated to my dirty utensils. Mm. So that once I'm done using utensil for a meal or stirring my hot chocolate or my coffee or my Bailey's, whatever I got going on, I just throw it in there and that contains all my dirty utensils. And then when I get home, I just take that bag out of my kitchen tote and throw them in the dishwasher and then throw it back into the utensils carrier.
So in line with that, I appreciate you sticking to the bags mm-hmm. thing, but uh-huh. so do you take metal utensils or plastic utensils?
Metal.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I take metal, and I think you're probably on the same page here because it's reusable.
Yes.
You're not disposing of things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's not, and a lot of times I have a cleaning station uh-huh. to clean stuff because I only take limited supplies, bowls and plates, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I reuse those and don't just throw stuff away.
Yeah.
Or throw it in the fire, you know. yeah. But yeah, I do metal ones as well. And mm-hmm. I've never done the extra bag for dirty ones. So that's actually a great tip. And
interesting.
I'm going to adopt that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just take like enough. I think I take two full sets of utensils. So 8 forks, 8 spoons, mm-hmm. say eight. I don't know if I take 8 butter knives. I think I just use my pocket knife for a lot of stuff. But and that usually does just fine for a 3 to 4 day camping trip for me and the secretary.
Yeah.
And you'd never have to do dishes. I mean, you don't really have to clean them. You just throw them in the bag and grab the next clean utensils next time you have a meal. So
yeah, I think the set I have ORI?
ORI.
Those are shocks.
Yeah.
They're outdoor research.
Okay.
Who I think is what they are. And I think I have a set of 4 small forks, 4 big forks, 4 small spoons, 4 big spoons, mm-hmm. set of knives. And I usually only end up, like, if the assistant's with me, you know, we'll have our set and we'll wash mm-hmm. it every night. And so we don't use the rest of them, but I always bring more in case somebody's like, I don't have forks, you know, like forks are always the one thing that people run out of, you know, and I have them for others. Eventually this is way off topic now, but eventually I wanted to sort of be the kitchen.
Be the kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's funny coming from you. Cause you,
I don't cook. Right. Cooking,
yeah.
But I wanted to have like, tell everybody, you guys don't need to bring any of your kitchen stuff. I have it all. Like we can cook off of this. And that's when if and when I got a small trailer,
mm-hmm.
I wanted just to turn that into the kitchen.
Yeah. And that'd be handy. I agree.
Right? And it's like, oh, we're going to wheel out this area, drop the kitchen off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And have everybody can use the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I wanted to turn it into.
So speaking of kitchen, let's move on to that item since we're there. Because I know you had a couple of kitchen items.
That's on my list again.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things I have is I have a really cool kind of kitchen pot set that I like. It's made from Stanley, and it has a big pot. And then inside of the big pot, which the big pot's not too big. It's a car camping kit, but it's not a massive pot.
Okay.
It has a pan that folds up inside of the pot. It has four bowls, four plates, four sporks, a spatula, a large spoon, a drying rack, and the drying rack lid acts as a cutting board.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all that folds up compactly into the big pot. And I actually throw in I have a microfiber little towel that I toss in there to just sort of dry stuff and to absorb some of the moisture if I throw it in wet.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like about it is it has a lot of features and it takes up a little amount of space.
Yes.
And this, I think a lot of this comes from my backpacking background where I've said this story before, I started backpacking for the most part. I was always wheeling and I was always backpacking, but my thought was if I collect the backpacking gear, I can use the backpacking gear to off-road for wheeling, but I can't use the wheeling gear for backpacking.
Yeah.
So collect the backpacking gear and then start collecting that's the dual purpose. And then if I need a bigger stove, then I can get it for the camping side of things.
Yeah.
So I think I really like the compactness of this cook kit because it can fit in my tote and not take up an entire tote of pots and pans.
Yes.
So, and that's, I really like that aspect of it. And I know you have a pan that you really enjoy.
I have two. So my number one thing for cooking is to just make sure you have a good seasoned cast iron pan. And I carry two, a kind of a big one and a medium, smaller sized one. And the big one I'll use to I'll cook steak and potatoes and green beans or asparagus or something all in one pan. It works great in that big one. And the small one I'll use more for breakfast stuff like eggs or bacon or sausage, things like that. But, I think cast iron pans, they are super versatile. You can cook anything in them and they're nonstick. They're easy cleanup, easy maintenance. They're heavy. They take up a little bit more space than your typical pot and pan camping backpacking setup. But I'm all about the ease of cleaning stuff afterwards. I don't want to have to spend a lot of time cleaning dishes and doing dishes while I'm camping. And so for that reason, I try and do everything I can in those two cast iron pans. And if I need to boil anything, I'd use my kettle. So if I'm going to make boiled hot dogs, I'll put water into my kettle, fill it up and boil the water and just throw the hot dogs into my kettle and boil it in there. Yeah. Or if
how do you get them out?
With a fork or tongs or something.
Huh. Yeah. That's weird.
You just shove your hand in and grab them.
Well, I'm picturing a tea kettle.
Yeah.
Have a little pour spout and then this tiny hole at the top.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hmm. Yeah. It's the same one I use for coffee in the mornings.
Yeah.
So essentially I would three cooking dishes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would have done the opposite. I think I would just carry a pot that I boil water in.
Yeah. And use that as your coffee.
Use that for the coffee and everything for the hot water, but it'd be much easier to use a pot. For cooking instead of a kettle for cooking.
Yeah.
We're making hot water for the coffee or tea.
Yeah.
You could use a pot.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need a kettle.
Yeah. No, it's totally true. And my kettle it's a big kettle, so it doesn't pack very well. It takes up a lot of space and it's kind of awkward. So, but I love it because I use it for coffee and hot drinks all the time. So, I'll usually have hot drinks at night around a campfire.
Yeah. I've gained a kettle in my cooking tote lately since the assistant's been she likes tea and so she wants and I my coffee I actually have these condensed coffee they look like K-cups but it's a condensed cold brew condensed is the wrong word it's
a condensed
I guess it's condensed boiled down simmered down when I don't know what that term's called.
Reduced.
Yeah. cold brew. And then you pour that out into a mug and then you pour water or and some milk or creamer on top. Mm-hmm. And so I usually just have a cold coffee.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's so much easier than making hot water.
Yeah.
But if she's making hot water, I'll add the hot water to my cold
coffee
brew
and
have a hot cold brew. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, cool. I think finding a good system, once again, this is kind of falls into systems, you know, finding a good cooking system that works for you. Mm-hmm. And what was a benefit for me is small and compact and mm-hmm. having lots of parts. And what seemed to be positive for you was
low maintenance
mm-hmm. and ease of cleaning.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'll just jump to cleaning because this was actually going to be one of my topics.
But nice.
I thought it was too broad.
Okay.
I actually take a little tiny wash basin, mm-hmm. And I pour soap and water in that, and then I'll do a rinse or a wash of all the stuff in it, mm-hmm. and then I can pour that water out, mm-hmm. and then I pour fresh water in, and then I'll rinse everything off. And I like doing that all in kind of like one spot within this, like, I guess it's sort of a smaller tote.
Yeah.
And I think it keeps everything like compact and all in one location instead of like, you know, pouring water over all your dishes somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, how do you get, you know, just always refreshing a soapy brush. You know, mm-hmm. I thought that just sort of having this one basin was made things a lot easier.
Totally. We used to do that a lot when I was camping as a kid. Mm-hmm. We'd carry the wash basin, the wash tub.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't even wash dishes when I'm camping.
Right.
I find ways to not wash dishes, and a lot of that is because of baby wipes, or thanks to baby wipes.
Okay.
I'll use baby wipes a lot to clean dishes off. So the cast irons, like I said, once they're seasoned properly, they're non-stick, so that you can just wipe them down with paper towel and water, warm water and paper towel, and they wipe clean. And then for any other dishes, so metal plates or, like I said, my utensils, I don't even wash, I throw in a bag.
Right.
But for like plates or maybe mugs, maybe cups, a lot of times I don't even wash those out.
Yeah. I'll
wipe them down.
Yeah, or I'll just, like in the coffee
mm-hmm.
situation for my mug, as soon as I'm done, I'll pour a little bit of water in it and swish it around and just toss it out.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's good enough.
Yeah. Right. So, I do the same thing.
Right. All right. Well, why don't you take another one since you've now hit two on my list.
So the big one for me that I was like, this is amazing. And I figured this out when I did have my first Gen 4Runner. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to find a way to streamline the process now with the second gen with Kermit is having a fridge. I can't go back to having an ice chest.
Really?
Now, yeah. I refuse to carry ice. I don't want to have to maintain or manage ice. I don't want to have to worry about it melting and sloshing around. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to worry about going and buying ice.
Right, but you got to worry about your fridge running.
Exactly. So that's what I'm streamlining, right?
Yeah.
As long as I'm connected
to
power.
Which I learned about.
Right. And so having a fridge, it's fantastic. You don't have space being taken up by ice, so you can carry more drinks or more food mm-hmm. with you, whatever you're looking for. So having the fridge and and a lot of people have figured that out now, right? It's not uncommon.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm figuring out now is how to streamline powering the fridge for my uses.
Right.
And that seems to be the tricky part. Mm-hmm. And I've looked into a lot of different ways, you know, doing the dual battery setup and just have it run off of your dual battery the way Jason did out at Barrett Lake with his CJ and his fridge. What I've come down to the conclusion of, I want to take my fridge and have it in my kitchen setup. Wherever I have my kitchen and I'm doing my cooking and stuff, mm-hmm. I want to have my food access from there. I want to have my drinks access from there. I don't want to have to get up from the campfire and walk 30, 40, 50, 100 feet over to my car to get a cold beer out kind of thing, right?
Yeah, what you seem to do is if you're staying in a spot for multiple nights, you actually unload your 4Runner.
I do,
and
totally.
And you move it over to where the camp is.
I do, yeah.
And so you don't ever have to go back to your 4Runner, uh-huh. right? And so that, like we talked about it, how you like that for the totes, but you do that also for your fridge.
Yeah.
You know, and when we were camping out at that undisclosed location, you know, you put your fridge over by the camping table, which makes mm-hmm. complete sense, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had my Yeti underneath my tailgate of the truck because I wanted to try to keep it in the shade as long as possible. But if it's a fridge and it's in intermittent shade and it can run continuous power,
yeah,
then it's going to keep itself cool.
Yeah. So what I found for power is lithium ion battery power stations. There's a lot of different stuff on the market. And I just actually bought one from a company called Rock Pals, 500 watt hour power station, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So it's a lithium ion battery pack that has a 500 watt hour battery in it. And then it has all these different ways to connect to the power on the front side of it, right? And what I found out is it's a really bad option if you're trying to do camping stuff and run a fridge and whatnot and a CPAP machine, all these other things.
Okay.
Because why? It isn't a regulated 12 volt source, power source. It's like your car battery where as you are using power from the battery, the voltage drops and drops and drops and drops and drops.
Got it.
And so there's
so a, if the voltage gets low enough, then your compressor on the fridge won't turn on.
Exactly. So that's I didn't realize that it was a non 12 volt regulated, a non-regulated lithium ion battery. I thought that it was regulated because they're like, yeah, run fridges off of it and all this other stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. And so I'd ran a test with the battery pack I got, and it only it turns off after like 4 hours of being on. It has a timer shut off. And I'm like, that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And B, it's unregulated. So after I get about 60% of the way through the power indicator lifespan of the battery.
So 40% left, roughly.
So sorry, 40% used, 60% left.
Okay.
It doesn't have enough voltage to turn on my fridge anymore.
Mm.
And so I'm like, well, that's going to go back. So that's my tip for everybody out there. If you're looking to run your fridge away from your vehicle, look into those lithium ion battery packs. Jackery is a company I think I'm going to end up going with. All of their power stations are regulated 12 volts. So that will supply 12 volts all the way until the battery's dead at 0%. I don't know if the Goal Zero or anything does. I just know that Jackery is one of the brands that does it with all their power stations. So just look for a regulated 12 volt power station. That's what
you want to look for. How long does it take to charge one of those?
That's a good question. I have a buddy from the Gold Hills Posse, Brian. Hi, Brian. He has the Jackery like 330 watt hour station one, and he has a 60 watt solar panel, and he can run his ARB fridge for about 34-35 hours nonstop before his Jackery power station dies.
Oh wow.
So 34-35 hours nonstop
without the solar panel,
without charging,
just running off of it.
Just okay. Straight running from it. With the solar panel on, he says the solar panel charges faster than the fridge drains it.
Cool.
So a 60 watt solar panel will charge, as long as you have good sunlight, right?
Yeah.
It'll charge your,
it's not
your
smoky battery outside. Pack.
Exactly. So I have a 100 watt solar panel. So I don't think I should ever have any issues with it.
That's cool.
I just need to find a 12 volt regulated power station.
Right.
So that's my tip. That's the thing that I think is crucial. So, if you are looking to just keep your fridge in your vehicle the whole time, then just hook it up and do a dual battery setup and call it good. So, but I like to unload everything,
right?
Bring it over to my camp area.
Do you want to move on to that one next?
That's since another good one.
That kind of falls in line with what we're going with.
Yeah. So one thing I've come across this year that I've been finding since I have it, I've been using it a lot and not necessarily using it for the reason that it was sold as, right? Yeah. So it's a 12 volt jump box for your car. And so what mine has is it's not just a jump box, but it has a vehicle cigarette lighter port on it, right? A 12 volt cigarette lighter port on it. And it also has USB ports on it. So you can charge other things off of this jump box, but it also is designed in such a way that it'll, you know, give off so many cranking amps to help jumpstart your vehicle. And so I've actually been using that, and you can charge it off of a USB plug from your vehicle. So if you're driving out somewhere, you can charge your jump box while you're driving around, charge it off your alternator, essentially your car's vehicle system. And then once you're out camping somewhere, you can use that and have it as a backup to jumpstart your vehicle and use it for charging USB power sources away from your vehicle.
Absolutely.
So you can recharge your phones, you can recharge, like I say, your ham radio battery. If your battery pack is set up for USB charging, you can charge those. You can charge Bluetooth speakers if you have music going on in your little camp area. It's extremely useful. You can run air mattress inflators off of it. It's a very useful little tool. That's just, it's a little tiny little portable battery pack that is great for accessory stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So last episode I talked about how the Noco box I got wasn't charging. So I contacted Noco and talked to them, and they said that I ordered a battery maintainer. So it needed to be plugged into the wall and had to be plugged onto a battery, and it was only for maintaining or repairing or trickle charging.
It's a trickle charger.
Okay. It's a trickle charger. So that went back.
Yeah.
And I ordered now their boost, jump boost box, like their 40, whatever it comes out to be, 40 amps or something version. And so that's in the mail coming to me.
Nice.
Now. But that, this is the more or less the same thing. It has the USB on it. It's got some other plugs, and yeah, I'm excited to have that as a backup to some jumper cables.
Yeah. And what I'm, it's super nice to have those instead of jumper cables. And they're, I mean, I got mine for 50, 60 bucks, something like that. I mean, you can get them relatively cheap, or you can get the really expensive ones that will be a trickle charger and a jump box and all these other things all in one. You know, they range all the way up to $200 to $300 if you want.
They do.
So, but yeah, I'm curious to see if I will still continue using that as like an accessory charger
after you get
after I get my power, my 500 watt hour power station from Jackery. So
yeah, definitely. But also falling off of that is both you and I have been moving away from battery powered objects to rechargeable USB powered objects.
Correct. So, yeah, like, so they still have a battery in there.
They still have a battery.
It's not like you're replacing the battery.
But it's not like double A's or triple A's or D's, C's, you know. We don't want to be carrying those extra batteries around or worried about having to carry those extra batteries around when we have these, now have these jump boxes or, you know, 12 volt power supplies or, you know, a cigarette lighter that has a USB in it. You know, a lot of the items we can carry along with us are rechargeable.
Yes.
And so, you know, our headlamps, our camping lights, our, you know, I have a little tiny light that I bring inside my tent, you know, that doesn't go too bright. So even at light or when it's dark outside, it's not overly killing your eyes inside the tent, you know, and all these things that could or that do take batteries, you know, we're trying to eliminate those out of our systems and just use rechargeable USB style.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that goes along for like everything. And what's really nice about that is if you're backpacking, you get into emergency situations, if you have, say, I don't know, what's like a Garmin that can be recharged via USB, you're always going to have emergency communications. If you have a ham radio and your battery packs for your ham radio handhelds are always rechargeable with USB, then you're always going to have emergency communications. Like there's a lot of different uses for it other than lights around your campground, recharging your cell phone while you're out, recharging whatever cameras you have, GoPros, whatever they are. A ton of different uses if you can get everything over to rechargeable USB stuff.
Absolutely.
And if you have a battery jump box, then you always know you can restart your vehicle, assuming you draw the power out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or use the battery jump box as your charger.
Exactly.
You know, and then you don't have to concern yourselves too much. One of the things I wanted to say about this is, a key item is to try and make sure everything is charged before you go out on your camping trip, right? And that's sort of one of the harder, you know, sides. It's like, oh, well, I could always just carry these extra batteries. And if the batteries wear out, then I can replace them and I know I'm good. But if you just make sure everything's charged, you know, a lot of times, unless you're going out on like a 4 or 5 1-week long trip, a lot of times the batteries inside of the devices will last the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Unless you're like, left the light on overnight out at the, you know, the camp table. You know, but then, you know, then you can recharge it
during the day.
During the day.
Yeah. I usually, if something's not charged, like a big one is my, my lighter. because I have that arcing lighter. It doesn't use a flame. It uses electricity to create an arc. And then that arc is what you use to light stuff on fire with. And it's USB rechargeable.
Right.
So if I find that it's not charged, I don't have a charge in it to light a fire or something, I just go plug it into my car really quick in the 4Runner, let it charge for 10, maybe 15 minutes, then pull it out and it has enough arc to get a fire going. Once that's going, I plug it back in and let it charge fully. But it's like, as long as it's rechargeable, you can usually, with you, at least your vehicle or a power station of some sort, jump box, accessory power, whatever it is, you can keep things going and not ever have to worry about them not being able to be used
right
while you're camping. So.
Yeah, and that's a really cool little tool because it's doesn't have a flame on it.
Correct.
Right? It's it's more or less a taser.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, really.
That's what it looks like. You know, and it's got so much voltage going between the two little diodes that if when you put something in between those, it'll actually ignite it on fire. Mm-hmm. And we have a little video on it and we lit some fun things on fire. And, you know, we're amazed about, like, it could light a little twig on fire, you know, and it's nice to have something like that that would work in windy conditions and work in rainy conditions. And, you know, when things are wet, it'll still can, you know, you don't have to worry about trying to get a flame to light these things on fire where this is using electricity to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing I use quite a bit that I've loved ever since I found those. Another thing that I've been really excited about having.
Yeah.
And this took me a long time to find the one I wanted.
Okay.
Was a good camping chair.
Yeah.
And so what my requirements for a camping chair was A, comfortable enough, which you would be surprised how many camping chairs are out there that are not comfortable at all.
Yeah. You tolerate.
That you just tolerate.
Because you are compensating for size or weight or...
Yeah.
Packability.
To trade off or something. Yeah. So I wanted something that was comfortable, packed down. So collapsed all the way down to a nice, neat tube, a cylinder packing, right? Not a flat packing the way
some like lawn chairs
pack.
Do.
Yeah. I wanted that. So those two things. And then I wanted, if I could, recline, something that reclined. But I was like, good luck finding something, because it seemed like everything that that reclined folded up like a lawn chair.
Doesn't pack away.
It doesn't pack away. Mm-hmm. And I went through maybe 7 or 8 different camping chairs with Amazon.
Right.
Just ordering and returning. And I found one that not only reclines, packs away, but it also has a footstool with it. And so this footstool, though, doubles even, it's not just like a little ottoman, but it doubles as a side table.
Yeah, it's interesting. It kind of has hinges or a way that it can rotate into the front of you so you can like put your feet up on it as an ottoman, but it'll also rotate around to the side of your chair and be like an end table.
Yeah. It's really cool. I've been super happy with it so far. I am a little concerned the more you use it, the more the materials kind of stretching and sagging a little. So I might have to reinforce it some way or another. But so far, I've been super happy with the way those chairs have turned out.
Yeah, and it reclines as well. So, I mean, it packs away fairly tight. It has an ottoman. It reclines, and it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's a, I remember you're like, I ordered 6 chairs, and I found one. And I was like, really? So it's a pretty cool little chair. We'll put a link down below for the one that you got, so you guys can check it out. But along those lines, one of the things that I bring is I have like a little mini side table that it's not the height of a normal table. It's more of an end table for around a campfire, around the chairs. And it's, I like it cause it's shorter, it's low key. It's got, some cup holders in it. It has straps on the ends that you can really cinch it down and make it very taut. And, you can tell that you can put some heavier items on there, like your, you know, plates for dinner or items on top of that little end table. And it's a feature that I really like to, it allows you to have sort of a table when you're sitting around the campfire, which is, I really like that little table. And I pull it out often.
Yeah, you do. does the assistant like when you pull it out?
She does. Yeah.
Nice. That's good.
Definitely.
I know the secretary, when you pulled it out, she was like, ooh, that looks fun.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, yeah, it made me question things for a second there, but then I Definitely. Realized what was going on.
Yeah, usually when I pull it out, we have chips and salsa.
Yeah. Oh, man. So cool. Along those lines of pull-out tables, mm-hmm. I found this really, really cool table that is all aluminum, and it packs down super small. Like, it packs down almost smaller than my chairs do. And it's super lightweight, but you set it up and it's really sturdy.
Definitely.
And it's just a really cool, I think, a car camping table, where if you're going to be setting up your table and where you're going to be eating or setting up food or cooking stuff, not on your vehicle. It's been really cool. I've been really happy with it so far. And it's again, lightweight. It packs really well and it's really sturdy.
Right.
And so I was like, this is fantastic.
Yeah. I think a table is one of those things that a lot of people kind of bring out with them, mm-hmm. because if you're not going to a campground, mm-hmm. that you don't know if there's going to be a table available, a table is a very handy item to have.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people bring like the collapsible plastic tables.
Yeah.
And what those are kind of large packing away.
Yeah, they don't
right?
pack.
They don't extremely pack
well.
Extremely easy. A lot of people build little cubbies for them to like slide into and mm-hmm. underneath that, or strap it up somewhere. And it's sort of awkward, like the same reason that you were looking for a camping chair.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you didn't want it to fold that way. You want it to fold another direction. Mm-hmm. And this aluminum table is nice because it will, like, when you undo it, the like slats roll up into a cylinder, you know, and the poles kind of collapse down into each other, and that all packs away really nice, similar to your camping chair.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so now you have a few, you know, and so I think sort of our theme, kind of this overarching theme that we're talking about, is figure out a good system that's working for you and your vehicle.
Yeah.
Right. And how do you want to pack things away? How do you keep them? Mm-hmm. You know, like if you have a tote system or a cubby system in your vehicle and you have a spot to slide something under, mm-hmm. like I was watching Florida Frank Mud Raider talk about how he won the tailgater tire table.
Yeah.
And he has a spot underneath, like where he keeps his spare tire, that is perfect for that.
Nice.
You know, and it's finding systems or ways that work with you and
your
system.
It's almost like suspensions, right? You got to figure out what you want to be doing with your vehicle and then mm-hmm. find a way to package it in a way that makes sense for your vehicle. And that's kind of like your camping equipment too. You got to figure out what kind of camping are you going to be doing. Is everything going to be attached to your vehicle? Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of trucks, especially Tacomas out there, they just use their tailgates as a table,
Absolutely.
Which is where snail armor came from. And,
right.
And so it's like, do you really need a table if you have a tailgate? Me personally, I have a tailgate and I still love having a table because
it's just more space.
I want to get away from the vehicle. I want to be at camp, not mm-hmm. at my vehicle kind of thing.
Yeah. And a lot of people that do have tailgates still have like a swing away thing that has a drop down mm-hmm. cutting area, mm-hmm. you know, or somewhere to another shelf to just have more stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that tables are, you just having another available space,
like a surface is
great, which is where that like mini side table that I carry around with me, that's one of the benefits of that. But having another table is another big benefit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely. Another one of the items that I take out, and I'm sure a lot of people bring as well, is just a hammock.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely love hammocks.
I don't understand hammocks.
Yeah.
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 Well, I get the allure to them. I just physically don't know how to use them.
Well, yeah, that's your problem.
Right.
If I'm soloing, a lot of times I will sleep in the hammock. Mm-hmm. I'll just have the hammock and a pad and a blanket or my sleeping bag, and that's all I need, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll sleep in the hammock over the, you know, for the weekend. They double up as a, you know, a sitting area, a lounging area, you know, your sleeping area. They're a great place to sit back and relax and read a book, you know. A lot of times, and probably the vast majority of it, is a hammock will be set up in the shade, mm-hmm. right? Because you're under a tree or a cactus or something, you know. But, you know, it's going
to
be...
If you live in Arizona, you're attached to mm-hmm. a cactus, a couple cacti.
I guess one of the drawbacks to this is you have to have something else around to attach it to. I've strung hammocks up between rigs, you know, from rock, from exo cage to exo cage, uh-huh. you know, or bumper to bumper, And as long as you kind of have two places that you can strap them up, you're going to be fine for all of that. So, yeah. I think it's just just another lounge area or a relaxing area that's easy to set up, packs away very tight.
Doesn't take
a lot of space. And once again, whenever you pull it out, everybody's happy. Now, one thing
can use it.
Definitely.
It's something you can share with everybody when you pull it out.
Right.
Got it.
There are different types of hammocks.
Okay.
And
I didn't know that. What do you mean there's different types of hammocks?
Yeah. So, and it mainly comes down to fabrics.
Okay.
And,
Different uses or what do you mean by?
Yeah. For the most part, it's for uses. So, I mean, there's like the woven ones that are very, have like crocheted knots throughout it in a way. Uh-huh. Right. And that are like you'd find from like Honduras or whatever,
gotcha.
And you just bring them up. Those are great for relaxing and just lounging in, but those stretch, and it all comes down to the stretch.
Okay.
They stretch so much that they're hard to sleep in.
Okay.
And so I have a really cheap, like $5 hammock that I let the kids play in. Mm-hmm. And because it's $5, I don't care about it. Uh-huh. And it's like when you string it up and it's sitting right, once you get in it, it'll just stretch so much that it arcs a lot. More expensive, like sort of Gore-Tex fabric style, like material that doesn't really stretch costs a lot more.
Okay.
And the benefit of those is that when you string up the hammock and you hop in it, it doesn't stretch a lot. So it will actually sit a lot flatter.
See, that's my problem is because, I'm 6'4", right? Mm-hmm. So I have long legs. And if I get into any position where my legs are above my chest, immediately blood flow doesn't go to my feet very much. So I can't be in a position like an arched position very long. I think that's why I don't like hammocks. I don't understand them. I figured it just came down to, I didn't know how to use them, but maybe I'm using the wrong material ones.
It,
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it might be, there's a few different things. So a lot of people, when they want to lounge, they lay in a hammock, right? And you're just laying typically in a hammock. Mm-hmm. When you sleep in a hammock, you sleep at like 30 degrees to the hammock. And you have your head sort of off one side and your feet are off the other. And you're, if you know, from like
that
tree to
twist
tree,
you around or anything?
No, and it actually flattens you out more.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, no, it doesn't twist you out. You're just kind of, kind of tries to force you in a little bit and it wants to straighten yourself out. But by the, of the weight that you weigh, it you just kind of make a different taco, in a way. You twist the taco. And so by sleeping sideways, the tension is different and it's not arcing as much as you are. It's making it a little bit flatter.
Interesting.
And so having a really good material hammock, sleeping at an angle is the trick of trying to get flat. You're still not going to get perfectly flat, right? You can even if you spin like 15 degrees in that hammock, you can actually somewhat sleep on your side because it's that flat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
The hardest part about sleeping in a hammock is what's underneath you.
Why is that? What do you mean?
Because there's nothing underneath you.
Oh.
Right. Okay. And so if you're in a hammock,
you're not talking about the rocks and the ground.
No, I'm talking about the space that's underneath you. Because if you're in a hammock, you have like, let's say your clothes and then the hammock.
Okay.
Right. And there's nothing there. And so
there's no insulation, you're saying?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
So the coldest part about, like, if you're sleeping in a hammock and you jump in a sleeping bag, right? And you have the sleeping bag zipped up and you hop in a hammock, that sleeping bag is compressing.
Yeah. So
right.
You don't have air insulation
underneath
layer.
You.
Yeah,
okay. And then you have the hammock and there's no insulation under there. So if you get really thick wool blankets, or I use my air mattress that I would take backpacking.
Okay.
There's things called underquilts, which are like half of a quilt or like half of a down blanket or something. And they'll like put it underneath the hammock.
Okay.
So it's this barrier of warmth that, cause that's the way you're going to be losing a lot of your warmth.
Yeah.
So if you can insulate that, it's better.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so the coldest part about the hammock is what's underneath,
okay,
which is typically nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So if you can figure a way to insulate that, And like I said, I use my air mattress, the one that I take backpacking, and that has a really high R rating and it works great.
Nice.
And, okay. And on another side, it's, you know, an air mattress. So it's a little bit rigid. And so it actually flattens the hammock out even more.
Okay.
So, but they're fun to play in. They're fun for the kids. You can turn them into little swings. You know, mm-hmm. whenever you have the hammock out, every kid loves playing in it. So
I really wanted to get one of those, the big like triangle. Hanging the triangle ones yeah. that you hang up and it becomes like a little hammock fort up in the trees.
I like those. They're expensive. I've seen them used. The hardest part about those is trying to find a place that has the trees situated in the right triangular order for you. Because if the trees are off, you know, a little bit
yeah.
you're not going to be able to really make that. But it's super cool. And you can probably figure out a way to strap it up so it fits better. But yeah, it's cool. And then it has like a ladder that goes up into it and has three places to sleep.
Yep.
It does not pack down very well.
Oh, really?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's heavy. It's big. Uh-huh. It's cool.
Uh-huh.
It's really neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't. It's okay. It'd be a car camping thing for sure.
For the kids or something. Yeah.
So,
okay.
But staying along with the kids, one of the other item that I bring a lot, and I'm sure some other people do, is a Frisbee. Or other games to play.
Okay.
Because I've been out in situations where it just starts raining.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck in a tent or your car. And you're like, this is boring.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do. And cards, basic deck of cards, some card games, some dice, my lovely pig game,
yeah.
you know, are all great things to play.
Is that the Leaning Pigs or what is it called?
I forgot what the actual name of it is. the pigs.
Yeah.
And so all those are nice and easy to play. Easy. They're small. They pack away easy. You can fit a lot of them in your glove box.
You play Yahtzee a lot.
We were playing Yahtzee and we play 10,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that just takes five dice.
Yeah.
You know, both of those games take five dice, you know, and it's very easy. I like Frisbees because I think they're fun to play. It's fun to throw Frisbee around. You know, it's a fun game for two people, you know, you can play catch. Another benefit to Frisbees is you can use them for cutting boards.
Oh, that's true. I guess so.
Yeah. And if you flip it over and you have the inside of the, you know, you can use it as a cutting board. You can just chop things on it. You have little gashes in your Frisbee, whatever. As long as they're not on the edges of the rings, then you're not going to cut your fingers up.
Yeah.
Might make the Frisbee fly a little weird eventually.
Eventually.
But I've never gone through a Frisbee that fast, I guess. So, but Frisbees are on my, I always have a Frisbee in my tote.
Okay.
I even have one that has a light on it so you can play Frisbee at night.
At nighttime?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So,
what about some other ones? We had a guest in the studio that mentioned a couple of good ones earlier today.
Oh, my old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. My old man has, so he goes out, he used to go out snow camp backpacking. He would go cross country ski camping in the winter in the snow. And they would ski out and then make a base camp for like 3 days and then ski back out.
Okay.
And so a lot of theirs were, his is more backpacking style.
Okay.
Right. But he had some good ones like, blowout candles.
Non-blowout candles or re-sparking candles.
Re-sparking kind of the birthday candles, the trick candles that you put on birthday cakes. When the kids blow them out, they'll actually start back up.
Mm-hmm.
Those are an outstanding item for windy situations if you're trying to start a fire.
Yeah.
Because the wind might blow the candle out, but it will come back.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, you know, like all you got to worry about is lighting the match to light the candle, and then the candle probably won't go out.
Yeah.
So those are a really nice item to have. He had a lot of safety gear equipment that I think we could do a whole nother episode on safety gear.
Yep.
In regards to actually wheeling and camping. You know, he had some like enzymes so I don't want to get too
graphic
or too dirty here, but they would make a latrine in the winter because there's not a lot of critters out especially where they were at or where they go. And so they would make a latrine and they would have enzymes that help break that down.
Yeah.
And so they would go to the bathroom and then they would at, you know, every time that they would go to the bathroom, they drop these enzymes on it, and probably after
it's
the season's
over. It's almost
over.
Like essentially creating a little self-composting toilet
pretty much
of your own in a hole in the ground. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. I never thought of getting actual enzyme tablets and taking them camping with you kind of thing. But I thought that was pretty interesting. I thought the candle was a good idea.
Yep.
I liked his idea for like double and triple bagging dryer lint.
Yes.
For Tinder.
For Tinder.
Which you can also use Fritos. Fritos work really well.
Anything
for that as
really
well.
Oily, yeah. For sure. Another item that he brought up was just a spices kit.
Oh yeah.
I didn't want to. I didn't really add that one to the list because I figure a lot of people kind of bring that. But spices are lightweight. They have some really cool kits that pack away pretty easy, and it's adds to almost any meal. And you know, you don't need a lot of oregano or coriander or paprika or you know, to add to a dish to actually make it more flavorful. I usually carry salt, pepper, sort of paprika, coriander, and curry with me every single time.
Okay. I just carry garlic salt, lemon pepper, and regular pepper.
There you go. Yeah. So I think some of the, I have a list here of some of the honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Do you want to go down those?
Yeah.
Okay. The first one I wanted to say, and we kind of hinted at it, was just safety equipment.
Yes.
I think safety equipment episode is kind of, which is going to be a needed episode. But I think, you know, have a little good first aid kit, have some emergency supplies, have some items that, you know, are specifically set aside for emergency use only. And along with those are like a fire extinguisher, you know, and our good friends over at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey have a an Element fire extinguisher giveaway going on right now for their patrons. So that's pretty cool if you're interested in that. It's a really interesting and cool fire extinguisher that is, you buy it, it's a bit expensive. They're like $80
$70 to $80
But it's lifetime. Most fire extinguishers expire in like 5 to 7 years. Also, what's cool about it is most fire extinguishers run for like 5 to 11 seconds, and this one goes for 50 seconds. And it's a really, really cool fire extinguisher. They at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey did a whole episode where they interviewed the guy. I would highly suggest checking that out. I bought a few because of what the, because of their episode, and mainly because, you know, I'm almost 40, you know, but I have a long time ahead of me that I'm going to be going out and going wheeling and going camping, and buying a new fire extinguisher every 5 years would add up more than buying an Element right now. And so I'm looking to the future for that one.
I've ordered a couple of them as well because of their episode, and I still haven't gotten them.
Really?
Although I ordered it through Jason. He did a big group buy.
Oh.
And so he still has not given me mine. It's been like a month and a half.
That's funny. Another fun item that the old man suggested.
The magic show one?
The magic show.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you want to sort of explain it, or do you just want, shall we jump into it?
I mean, it's just kind of cool. It's a cool trick if you have kids. I've never seen this happen before. I didn't know it happened. He just brought it up, and him and Jimmy were like, yeah, this is totally, that's what that they do. I was like, well, excuse me?
Yeah.
But apparently if you get the mint lifesavers.
Yeah, peppermint lifesavers, they're white and they have like
little flavor crystals in them.
Yeah, peppermint or they're like green peppermint color flavor crystals inside of them.
So apparently when you chew those, you throw like two or three of them in your mouth and chew them, it actually creates electricity and sparks in your mouth.
Yeah.
While you're chewing them. So if you're if you're like sitting around in the tent in a pitch dark area.
Yeah, it has to be very dark.
You can actually create sparks in your mouth. And it can be like a little magic show trick for the kids.
Yeah.
And I forget what electricity he said. It's Peoria. I don't know. Electricity.
The gentlemen on these episodes will know the reference to back in the day, like there was little crystals on your record players.
Oh, yeah.
And when the record player would bounce down the little track, it would actually twist the crystal and that would create the electricity. And it's the same theory here where when you crunch down and you bite down, you're breaking and twisting these crystals inside your mouth, and they're creating very itty bitty little sparks. And so it's kind of, it's a very neat little fun trick to play on the kids.
Yeah.
And I remember my old man doing that to me when we were young. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So that was the
peppermint flavored lifesavers.
So that was a fun one. Carry some of those in your first aid kits or your kitchen setup.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he always used to carry those around in his pocket all the time. And it would just be like this little candy when we were out on hikes and, you know, just something to have to kind of keep your mouth, you know, wet as you're hiking along, you know, so you don't dry out.
Gotcha.
So
I needed those while I was up on the tower yesterday in Vacaville. Mm-hmm. So
we'll talk about that next episode.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, so those were our items, some of the oddball items and random items that we bring with us camping. Hopefully that's driving you to think about your packing and situations and organization and equipment that you guys bring. And hopefully we threw in some fun ideas for you guys.
I'm curious to hear if you guys have any fun ideas too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like what are some things that, like we said, maybe, you know, it's a like a chair, a camping chair is something basic everybody brings, right? But is there a really neat one that's kind of different from any other camping chair out there that you use, and why, or tables, or you know, whatever else it is?
Yeah, what is a feature? You know, even a common item, there's everybody has a feature of a common item that you look for,
yeah,
and that you want,
yeah.
And you know, everybody's looking a little bit different, and even different areas around, you know, the United States or even the world camp differently than how we camp. So, you know, maybe you have an item that works, you know, better for you out in Australia when you do your long overlanding trips, or
well, the Australians, their whole goal is to protect the bush,
right? So. Yeah, you know, or people in the Midwest that you know have, you know, or the South, you know, that have sort of marshy lands, you know, have probably different camping situations than what we have here.
Yeah, yeah, they bring actual raised platforms.
Yeah,
to camp in the middle of the marshes.
No chainsaws.
No chainsaws.
But they probably need all the tricks in the world to get a fire started.
Yeah, right. Oh man, so cool stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was fun for us to kind of sit there and brainstorm, and you know, at first I was like, I don't know what the hell I use that's different from other people out there. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, oh, I use that. That's kind of different. That's kind of different. I know I got this because this is different from what I previously had. And
yeah,
it was kind of cool to come up with a list. So
I almost wanted to go out to the shop and dig through my camping tote just sort of like what all items are in here. Yeah. You know, like I have a trowel in there. I have some baby wipes in there. I have the camping situation. I have the stove. I have the stove doesn't fit in the kitchen one. and then the cleaning totes in there. And you know, it's like I have all this stuff inside of there. I have a red bag. I have this little red bag that has, it's like carries the small miscellaneous random crap.
Gotcha.
And it's just one bag. And so it's like, if it's, you know, fingernail clippers, it's in the red bag. You know, if it's things like that, you know, they're in, it's like, where is that? Oh, it's in the red bag.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a good way that I kind of organize everything, you know, so.
Very cool. So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys want to send us in your feedback, so what are some things that you use, what are some things that maybe we didn't think of, or stuff that you think maybe other people out there haven't really thought of, but it's something that you do all the time, kind of like my dirty utensils bag Ziploc.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
You know, what are some of those good tips out there? So send us your tips. Not that way, Jimmy. You can reach us over at jimmy@snailtrail4x4. Send him your tips. If you have any things about chainsaws, send them over to me, Tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. And then you can always find out and watch what we're up to, what shenanigans we're getting into on Instagram. That's snailtrail4x4 and 4x4 Toyota Tyler. And always check out the snail armor. The new website's looking good.
Thank you.
Check out the customizations you can do on them. That's gonna be really cool. I'm waiting until we get all that kind of stapled and figured out so we can put a big old MF logo on one.
I'm down.
We're gonna have second gen 4Runner snail armor tailgates out here relatively soon.
Yeah. And I have a gentleman showing up in about a half an hour with a Tundra.
Oh, nice. Perfect. Yeah. So we're gonna get a third gen or second gen or first?
It's a third gen Tundra.
Okay.
But I believe the second gen and is there a third gen Tundra?
Yeah.
I don't think there is.
Mm-hmm.
There
was, because the, I mean, The second gen had a different running gear than the third gen. The third gen's a slightly bigger cab as well.
Okay.
So,
but I think the first gen, second gen, and third gen Tundras have the same tailgate.
Oh, nice.
I think.
That'd be cool. We'll have to figure that out.
Well, and Hustle Nuts has a first gen. And I believe it, then it must be a third gen coming over. Uh-huh. So if the first gen and the third gen have the same bolt pattern, I think we're in luck.
Nice. So yeah, those will be coming out. We're going to be working on those. The Morflates are cranking right along. We just did a big group buy on Tacoma World, and that went off really, really well. A lot of positive feedback from that. So we're working on getting all those out. If you're a listener and also on Tacoma World, that group order is going to be going out the door next week, I guess this week when this episode's coming out. So be watching for those to show up at your doorstep. I think that's about it.
Yeah, I think
check out the Ultimate Garage giveaway. Make sure you're signing up for both of them, the Ultimate Garage and Corey's Ultimate Garage giveaway.
Yep. We're about halfway through the month, and gift boxes are filling up,
which
is fun. Uh-huh. We got a bunch of items in for those, and that tier will be opening up in a few weeks.
Yeah,
that's the beginning of October. And so that's cool. And then I don't know if the safety clinic, I haven't heard if the safety clinic's happening or not.
It is.
It is?
Supposedly Hollister is still open.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if all the spots are taken, but that's happening in a week or so. So go check that out.
Yep.
And besides that,
I think that's it.
They don't have any other fast updates. We out.
Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody out there?
We out.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Okay.
The assistant told me I was immature.
Why?
I told her to get out of my fort.
Oh, that's good.